The Bengals Beat podcast is back after a little summer break. I am bringing on someone who personally I admire a lot, but I know football fans all know exactly who she is. You see her on TV every day during the football season on ESPN, the host of NFL Live, Laura Rutledge. Laura, I'm so excited to have you on to talk about the Bengals, and I couldn't think of a better person to start off this training camp preseason coverage than you. So thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Kelsey. And this is just an honor to be with you. I love your podcast and I love your coverage of the Bengals. One of our favorite teams on NFL Live, by the way. We love Cincinnati. We've been so excited with everything that's happened. And we're pretty high on him for next season. So I know we're going to talk about that, but really fun to be with you here.
Yeah, and I should have known you should just kick it right off because that's what you're so good about, teeing people up on NFL Live. But I guess I'll just start with talking to you about when you talked about the Bengals were one of your favorite teams. How surprised were you personally at the run that they made last year?
Yeah, you know, listen, I guess the level of surprise probably wasn't as big as some other people who just totally counted them out. I covered Joe Burrow extensively in college and just know what he's capable of. And I felt like even last offseason, you heard the Bengals really confident. I mean, CJ Uzomah, remember some of the things he was saying? And people were like, oh, seriously? Does this guy really believe that? And I remember hearing their confidence and the way that they thought about themselves, thinking, wow, they really know that they're good. This is not just random, overconfident camp talk. You know, these are guys that really believe in what they're doing. And so it didn't totally surprise me. I think what does surprise me is how difficult it is to win in the NFL and win day in and day out. And there's so many times you could have a pitfall or when you're on a really strong stretch, all of a sudden you fall off a cliff. And so many things have to go right. And, you know, you even look back at the Super Bowl, and I know that's probably hard for some Bengals fans to think about, but they were right there. Yeah. You know, they could have totally won that game. And as much credit as we give to the Rams for rightful reasons, the way that the Bengals showed up and showed out in that game, I think gives you a little bit of a peek forward into what they can be capable of beyond just that great season. But I was maybe mildly surprised, but probably not as surprised as others. I believe they could be great.
So you brought something up that I think is one of the most interesting things about this Bengals team. And I actually asked Duke Tobin, their director of personnel, because the Bengals don't have the general manager title. So Duke Tobin is pretty much the closest to that. And I asked him about regression because you know how hard it is to get back to where they were. I mean, when I covered the Falcons back in 2016, they just rode the luck. And then, I mean, you've seen kind of what's happened to them over the last couple of years. They're, you know, things are very different down there. So for the Bengals, I'm so curious to see how this goes this year. And when I asked Duke Tobin about it, and he said, well, if we're being completely honest, regression is probably likely to some degree because there's only 1% chance of you going even better than where we got. He was like, we were 30 seconds from winning the Super Bowl. So if we don't get there, that's going to be regression. I guess when you look at all of the AFC landscape with the Bills, the Chiefs, the Ravens being hopefully healthy again, the Colts maybe now with Matt Ryan, what is your biggest worry about the Bengals in terms of who might be their biggest roadblock to getting back to the AFC championship and maybe a chance to play in the Super Bowl again?
Yeah, you know, even just some of the teams that you listed off, the AFC is stacked. And that might be my biggest worry, right? Like if they were in the NFC, I might feel a little differently about it. And the NFC is good too, you know. Yeah. It makes for what I think will be just great football this year. But, you know, you think about even what had to happen in the case of the Bills playing against the Chiefs and the Chiefs, you know, ending up just at the last second, having just that much more than that Bills defense could handle. And so I think the Bills are the obvious favorite to be a Super Bowl contender and to potentially win the Super Bowl. To me, that would be the Bengals' biggest obstacle. And I push them that far down the road because I think they will 100% be in the conversation when it comes time for the postseason. The one thing I would say is that this is a Bengals team that knows how to win those games. And that's key. I mean, as much as we can talk about the X's and O's here and the match matchups, and some of that will change, right? Because teams never just finish exactly how they start when it comes to the roster. But matchup wise, the Bengals are set up well. They've made the O-line better. That's key. I think the defense should be similarly strong. The defense was such a key part of the Bengals' run last season. Joe Burrow coming back, of course, again. The offense has so many great weapons. I mean, there's just reasons beyond reasons why they should be down there at the end. But reality is they know how to win those games. And I get it. You know, the 30 seconds away from winning the Super Bowl is sort of scary to think, how do you get better than that? But you knew how to get to that point. So right. Then it's just a matter of what do you do to push it that much further over the edge? And I do believe that from the coaching staff standpoint, and then also just from their leadership standpoint, they're prepared for that moment.
Yeah. Why do you think that even though the Bengals got to where they do and they return almost every starter, and in a lot of ways, they're almost even better on paper than they were last year because of what you said, the offensive line additions. Why do you think people are so high on the Bills, maybe over the Bengals?
So I do think that the Bills got better in key ways, right? Like adding Von Miller is huge, and thinking about knowing that it was just a few plays maybe left on defense against an unbelievable run by the Chiefs in that game. Just, you know, fighting and fighting and fighting. It all goes back to that game, right? And saying, if we had just had that much more, I think the Bills have impressed a lot of people by the way that they've filled some of those holes in the offseason, right? The way that they've gotten better at key specific parts. But listen, like, I think the Bengals are being overlooked in a lot of ways. I mean, I'll just go out and say it. I do think the Bills are potentially a better team on paper right now, but that can change and it's close, you know, and you're right. I mean, the Bengals returned so many of these key players and got better in key positions like the O-line. And I think a lot of it is there's still this like weird national narrative that the Bengals sort of lucked into being where they were. Yeah. And that's just not true. I mean, you go back and you watch some of these games and you say, even with an O-line that was leaky at times, right? Mm-hmm. They found ways to win these right. games and they won them. And so at the end of the day, like, that's not luck, you know, that's great talent. And that's finding a way to win. So I think that's more what it is, why maybe people overlook them a little bit is looking back on last season and thinking it was a bit fluky. And I imagine the Bengals will prove that narrative wrong this year.
Yeah, they never care. They never care that the Bills are the favorite, or last year nobody really took them seriously, which made them so fun to cover from my perspective last year, because it was just a locker room full of really good guys who really just cared about wanting to play together and trying to win. And I think that's part of why last year there were probably more people rooting for the Bengals in the Super Bowl than the Rams to some degree, because it was just like you're rooting for the underdog. But now the Bengals are not the underdog anymore because of Joe Burrow. So since you mentioned it earlier, I also forgot to mention when I introduced you what you do besides the NFL Live is that you host a show for the SEC Network. And obviously you're super plugged into the SEC. I mean, that's basically where you got your start in covering football, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. When you look at, you mentioned you cover Joe Burrow extensively. Can you tell me a little bit about what it was like covering him when he first got to LSU and then covering that LSU team? Because people forget Joe Burrow didn't arrive at LSU as the prize package that he was when he left. It took him a little bit to kind of gain momentum down there and become the player that he is.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I look back on it. We knew about Joe Burrow because he had transferred from Ohio State. And when he got his first opportunity with LSU, he wasn't that great. And a lot of people thought, well, you know, we'll see what he does. He ended up hurting himself. He hurt his hand and he really wasn't out there. And so expectations were pretty low. And even when we heard that he had won the starting quarterback job and he was going to be the starter in 2019, we all kind of thought, well, I mean, who knows? You know, this LSU team is kind of like they always are, where they're stacked with weapons, but can they put it all together? You know, and sure enough, and a lot of people too, another key piece was doubting Ed Orgeron, because people thought, maybe this guy shouldn't have gotten the job. He was the interim coach and ended up getting the job. So anyway, you started seeing very early on just this almost maniacal preparation from Joe Burrow and his ability to have this laser focus in games, not intimidated by even anything at all. And one of the things that struck me early on is if you watch him in warmups, his arm doesn't really jump off the page, right? Like he's just kind of out there. You think, oh, okay, we'll see what this guy can do. And that was one of our first, you're just being on the field watching him. That was one of our first impressions. And then you watch him in game and you're like, this guy can make all the throws. He is incredibly accurate. He is athletic when he needs to be. He's so precise. He finds a way in every single moment, it seems like, to make something happen. And so one of my favorite moments with him that year in 2019 was after the SEC championship, and they had won that game and they were headed to the college football playoff and they were unbelievable. And I interviewed him and I said, you know, what does this moment mean to you, or something like that? And he's like, well, this was understood. We were absolutely winning this game, and that this was a no-brainer. And he was just very flatline. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because one of our producers is like, well, can we get a little more emotion out of this guy? And I'm like, actually, the fact that he said that is all you need to know. I mean, that's who this person is. He expects greatness at all times and he achieves it. And then if he doesn't, then he says, what am I going to do to change that the next time around?
Yeah. What did you think of Jamar when you were covering the SEC and he was at LSU?
Loved him. And in fact, you know, the year that he set out was disappointing only because I just wanted to see him play more football, you know, and yeah. I totally respect his decision and he did what was right for him. But I look back and say, man, you know, it would have been fun to see another year of him out there. You know, such an electric playmaker and really probably doesn't get enough credit for his preparation either. A lot of people look at him and say, well, he's just gifted and he can do all these things. But I was so excited when the Bengals made the decision to go with Jamar Chase, because that was a controversial to some
people.
How
much did you guys talk about that on NFL Live?
Oh my God. I tell everyone who said they should have drafted Penei Sewell, I'm like, oh, stop it. Now look at this. Although, I mean, listen, I get it. Sewell's a great player too. But I think the Bengals were really smart, and they've been very smart about the way they've drafted, especially recently, but really smart about pairing up two guys that had great chemistry and saying, you know, they kind of saw this before even other teams did, with this influx of wanting to pay wide receivers and get great wide receivers and really focus on that. Getting Jamar Chase was incredibly smart, you know, and it's not just Chase. I mean, I think to me, that's what made the Bengals offense last year so great, is having multiple weapons. And, you know, you look around and say, all right, you can try to double and triple team Jamar Chase, but you got a lot to worry about if you do that. And so I loved Jamar in college, and I've loved him even more watching him play at the NFL level. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, people always ask me, what is the Bengals like three-headed monster at wide receiver actually like? Like, why does it work for Jamar, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd to all play together? And, you know, you guys talk about on NFL Live, sometimes there's that diva title associated with the wide receiver position. And they last year was obviously my first year covering the Bengals, and I couldn't have been more surprised at, like, that is actually they really do, when they say, like, all they care about is if they win, and, you know, whoever goes off that day, they really don't care. Like, Tyler Boyd, I think, is the key to making that group go, because he's, you know, a vet in the NFL, but he's team captain. I think he leads them in being like, he doesn't care if he gets, you know, 3 to 4 targets a game if T and Jamar go off. And I think that's what's super unique about the Bengals. And I don't think people pay enough attention to it, because obviously Jamar is like the eye popping player that people talk about. But I'm sure, like, with Dan and Mina and you and Marcus, you guys probably all talk about, you know, like, Tyler Boyd is the best slot receiver in the NFL. And then you've got T. Higgins, who's like basically similar to LeBron James build-wise at wide receiver, like dunk on people. So that's what makes this like such a fascinating team, because they really have so many options, and now they have the quarterback to put it together, which has been interesting because obviously you guys know the news of Joe Burrow having his appendix removed to start training camp. But that was a little bit of a surprise to all of us. So right now, when I'm at camp and Brandon Allen is throwing the ball, I mean, it's a noticeable difference when Joe Burrow is not on the field. I'll definitely say that. And it's funny when I talk to the other beat reporters who've been covering the Bengals for years before Joe Burrow, they're like, now you see what we were watching. No offense to Brandon Allen, but like, the Joe Burrow factor is definitely something that you can't make it up, because it is true. So I have a couple more questions for you, but I wanted to get your prediction for how you think things are going to shake out in the AFC in terms of, do you think the Bengals are going to win the AFC North again? And who are you taking as the AFC front runner?
Yeah, you know, at this point, and I'm not just doing this because I'm on your podcast, I would still go with the Bengals to win the AFC North. Listen, when you look at the division around them, there's still a lot of question marks. You know, we don't know exactly what's going on with Lamar Jackson's situation. Mm-hmm. I do expect that to get worked out here pretty soon, but it is a question mark. And I hope, just for football's sake, that the Ravens are healthy next year, because that was I think a big story, you know, about why their record was the way that it was. Yeah. I have to see how that all works out before I'm willing to really go down that path. You know, obviously you think about all of the things going on with the Browns and everything there. I mean, that's going to be a rough situation. You know, you think about everything going on, you know, in the Steelers case, like you don't have a quarterback yet, you know, yeah. And we know what that's going to look like. They're saying Mitch Trubisky is going to be the starter. We know what that looks like. Yeah. Your eyes. Yeah. Laugh right there. You know, you think about Kenny Pickett coming in as a rookie. I do think that they're in a good spot there, at least in the AFC North. And then beyond that, it's like things end up working themselves out. And like I said, I think they're right down there in the stretch of the postseason, and they know how to win those games. So it's a matter of putting that all together when it really pans out.
Well, the last question I want to ask you, and this is more for the fans that watch you guys on NFL Live. How do you guys pick the teams that you're going to talk about? Because obviously there's so many different teams you could really focus on. But when I watch, obviously you have a producer who puts a show together, but I know that you guys as hosts, you know, probably stress, here are the topics I want to talk about. How do you guys pick, you know, if you're going to talk about the Bengals, or how does that work?
So we send a lot of suggestions to our producer crew, and they're great about listening to us. And then we have multiple production calls and meetings throughout the day leading up to NFL Live. And we kind of just narrow it down. And obviously news dictates our show. So anything that's newsy is going to lead the show or be prevalent in the show. If Adam Schefter breaks news, that sometimes takes over the show. You know, so even what we thought we were doing, some things will get cut. But oftentimes it is really fueled by the analysts, and it's what they want to talk about. So if Dan comes to us and says, I have this breakdown of Joe Burrow that you can't miss, or if RC mm-hmm. says, I have to tell you this about the Bengals defense, that's in the show. You know, if they're passionate about it, that oftentimes leads us where we want to go. And so, you know, Mina is such a key piece in it when it comes to formulation of just interesting and different conversations. I think she's really pushed us to look at analytics and make it a little bit more digestible to people so that they understand, why do I care about pass block win rate? Well, here's why I care, you know, and mm-hmm. all of these things that really matter. So I would say it's a show that's unique when it comes to topic selection by the actual analysts on the show, and me too in some ways. And then also, we're just really lucky to have great producers who kind of mold our ideas to make them all work on TV. We got to pack a lot in. I mean, it's an hour show, but it's 37 minutes of actual content. Yeah. When you factor in breaks, so we squeeze a lot into that 37 minutes.
Well, I just wanted to ask you one question to wrap things up, and I'll obviously let you go after this. But the Bengals, one of the biggest storylines, I think, is they have 5 primetime games this year. They went from having one last year, a Thursday night game, to 5 primetime games, close to the max the NFL allows a team. Their 5 primetime games are against the Dolphins on Thursday night football, the Ravens on Sunday night football, the Browns on Monday night football, the Bills on Monday night football, and I'm blanking on the 5th one. But they've also got some 4 o'clock games against the Bucks, the Chiefs. Yep. Of those games, if you had to pick one game that you're most excited to tune in to watch, just from the matchup standpoint, what would you say?
It's so hard. By the way, can I first say just credit to the Bengals for being primetime worthy, because people love watching them and it's a great product, and that's why they've earned that spot. This may sound a little cliche, but I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to say the Chiefs, just because I think the Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, just seeing them go toe to toe in a lot of ways, but also just the matchups. I mean, to me, this Bengals defense is in a really nice position without Tyreek Hill on the Chiefs offense. I'll be interested to see what they're like, and can this Bengals defense that's been so locked down at times, can they really shut them down? What do they do with Patrick Mahomes, who just continues to show why, you know, no matter who's out there, he's great, right? He makes these magic plays and he has these great moments. So I would pick that one. I think there's always just a little extra when teams play the Chiefs. And I feel the same way about the Bengals. Defenses kind of salivate over seeing what they can do with Joe Burrow. And then they're probably like, why did we salivate over this? Because this guy's just a complete rock star. So, yeah, that'll be a really fun one. But, man, all these games, you get me excited for the season, laying out the schedule that way.
I know. I'm super excited. There's so many good games. I think I'm probably most excited to see the one on your network against the Bills on Monday Night Football. Yes! But I also think that rivalry with the Ravens that's starting up now between Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, I think that's going to be a really fun one on Sunday Night Football too. So yeah, it's so hard to pick, but I will let you go, Laura. Thank you so much for joining me. And hopefully if the Bengals are able to kind of have the success that they did, maybe we'll be able to get you on in the postseason again. Get your thoughts on the season.